Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
And I'll read quickly Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. And then we're going to read Acts 4 and 29. It was a scripture that Jake referenced last night. It's one that kind of got me thinking on this line of teaching tonight. But Romans 8, 31, the Apostle Paul wrote this: "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Aren't you thankful the Lord's on your side? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, when the apostles were being threatened for their preaching and teaching, they prayed and said, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." So tonight, for just a few moments, I want to just encourage us with this: speak to it. Speak to it. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the power, Lord, that we have through your name. And tonight I pray that our faith will be encouraged, Lord, that our minds and our hearts will be transformed and renewed into a new way of thinking. God, tonight that we would understand and believe that when you're behind us, there's nothing that can stand against us. Tonight, Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory. I ask you to bless this service now in Jesus' name. And one more time, everybody said amen. Clap your hands real good and shout to God one time. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of praise. Praise the Lord. And you can be seated. Thank you for being here. For our visitors that are here, thank you for being with us tonight. We're so glad to have each and every one of you. Speak to it. Last night, Jake began to talk about that. I was reminded of an old message that I preached years ago. It just seemed like it went over and over in my head. Face it, fight it, and beat it. And you can face anything with the Lord on your side. You don't have to be afraid. You can fight it. We're going to be in a spiritual battle, but we don't lose. We beat it. Face it, fight it, and beat it. The Apostle Paul, in this chapter, up to this point, when you're reading through Acts chapter 8, he has wrote about his own struggles, the struggles that he has in his flesh, the law of sin and death, walking after the flesh, being carnal-minded. He talks about bondage and sufferings, groanings and waiting, infirmities. And he talks about all these things, and he finally gets to this verse 31 that we call verse 31. He comes to a point in the middle of all this, and he asks two very, very important questions. What shall we then say to these things? What are you saying to the things that are happening in your life? And if God be for us, who can be against us? Paul knew a little something about these kind of troubles and these trials. He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger, thirsting, fasting, cold, nakedness, beside those things." He knew what it was like to have these things and those things in his life, those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul knew what it was like to face these things. So many times we are fooled into believing that once we begin to serve the Lord that we will never have these things. But we do. And the reason why so many people are defeated by these things is because they don't know what to say to them. There's fears and doubt every day. Insecurities, shame, guilt, bitterness, loss, hurt, hatred, envy, jealousies, afflictions, addictions, habits, sickness, heartache, secret sins and struggles. We know what it's like to have these things. And too many people today that have power to overcome are being defeated by these things because they don't know what to say to these things. When you let these things close your mouth, you lose your victory. The key is in the question that Paul asked, what shall we then say to these things? The problem is too many people is what they're saying about these things. You need to start speaking to it instead of talking about it. Yes. Trouble comes on me and I got to tell everybody instead of speaking to it. Yeah. Something goes wrong in my life, I got to tell everybody, but I got to post about it, write about it. I got to share it instead of speaking to it. He said, what are you saying to the things? If you understood the authority and the power that you had just within your mouth to speak to these things, it's time to stop talking about them and speaking to them. What shall we then say to these things? When that thing comes on you, when that lying spirit comes up and tries to tell you you're going to fail, speak to it. When that anxiety grabs a hold of you, speak to it. When that sickness gets a hold of you, speak to it. Come on, somebody. The Lord said, I gave you power over all the power of the enemy. And let me tell you, that power comes with a voice. And you can start speaking to some things that are going on in your life. When trouble comes your way, speak to it. Let me tell you, God created us in His image. And if I'm created in His image, He created me with a voice, a mouth, a way to speak. And, hey, listen, creation happened because God spoke. Come on. And God created us to speak. He said, speak. He gave us an example of that. Speak. Peace, be still. When the storm was raging, peace, be still. When people were lying on their bed of affliction, rise up and walk. He spoke to the affliction. When devils had to be cast out, He spoke to them, leave. And get out. When Lazarus was in the grave, He said, roll the stone away. A lot of people were speaking about the problem. He's 4 days dead. He's thinking by now. You know, if you had been here, they were talking about it, but Jesus came and spoke to it. Lazarus, come forth. I'm trying to help you tonight, if you'll hear me, because we're all going to have these things that are going on in our life, and it's a sad case of affairs when the people that have been blood-bought and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire are being defeated by things that Jesus gave us the victory over. Everything that that comes against us, He defeated that at Calvary. When they beat His body and destroyed that temple and laid Him in the tomb, and 3 days later, when He came up out of that grave just like He said He would, He gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave, and over everything else that goes on in this world. There is a battle. There is a battle in this world, in our flesh, in the spirit world, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. That means God backs up what I got. You know, somebody would say, hey, if you can't back up what you're saying, you ought to keep your mouth shut. Well, let me tell you, God backs up what I'm saying. When I start speaking to things by faith in His name, it's the Lord that backs me up. And that's why Paul said, you've got all these things going on, but what are you saying to them? Are you letting them run you down? Are you letting them shut your mouth? Are you letting them stop you from praising and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What shall we say? And then he says, oh, you don't understand. I don't know what to say, Paul. Oh, well, let me help you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Go ahead and say what you want to, because God's on your side. Tell it to leave. Tell it to go. Tell it to get out of your life. Tell it to get behind you. Tell it to get under your feet. I don't care what you tell it. Just tell it to get gone. Because God has given us authority in this world. And God has given us an authority in this life. And sometimes we need to stop talking about it and speaking about it and start speaking to it. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands and shout to God. You ought to just start right now. You got something going on in your mind right now. You're like, you know what? Just go ahead and speak to it right now. When I leave this service tonight, you're going to be out of here. You're going to get out. That bad spirit's going to get out of my house. It's going to get out of my life. We just need to speak to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is power in God's word. And there is power in you if you let it out. You've got to let that power out. That's why I say God created us in his image. And he said, I created you in my image so you could speak. So you could speak to things. And you could say, you know, he said, we create faith. You know, that we create faith by preaching the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. But how can they hear without a preacher? And so we know that there has to be someone preaching. But when we're declaring this word, it produces, it creates faith in somebody else. And then they go, you know what? I believe I could be saved too. I believe God could fix me. I believe I could be healed. Now, hey, I believe God loves me as well. You know, it's amazing that the things that start happening when they hear what's going on, when somebody stands up and says, I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed to stand up and declare the word of the Lord. Because when we declare that living word, that word of God that we live by, it produces something. It changes people. We read it the other day. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And when you start preaching those kind of words to people, you can overcome. You can be victorious. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. God can take care of what's going on in your life. And all of a sudden, faith begins to rise up inside of them. And then the enemy's got to go. Because we start speaking to those things. That's what we're doing when we're preaching the word of God. We're speaking to the things that are going on in other people's lives. You've got to get your hand off of them, enemy. You've got to get your hand off of them because the word of the Lord says they can be new creatures in him, that they can be set free. Amen. Hallelujah. And you shall know the truth. What is truth? His word is truth. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful tonight that there is power in God's word, but it's not just wrapped up in this book, and I've got to have this book in my hand everywhere I go. It's not a real sword that you can beat somebody over the head with, but it is the sword of the Spirit, that it gets inside your heart, it gets in your mind, and it ought to come out of your mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth, friend, it starts accomplishing things. It starts doing stuff. It starts breaking down strongholds. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful for it tonight. I'm thankful that I can stand up and say, Lord, I believe in you. I'm going to serve you. I believe you've given me power and authority in your name and through faith in your name. Proverbs 18 and 21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We think of weapons when we think of death and life. And the tongue, the Bible teaches us, it's an unruly member, causes a lot of trouble, starts great fires. No man can tame it, but the Spirit can. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And whenever we give this unruly member over to the Spirit, it can begin to speak things that will change. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. When we begin to let the Spirit, we pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit searches deep things, and it gives us revelations and understanding, and it gives us weapons. Listen, the armor of God, you don't really see a shield right here right now. You don't really see a sword in my hand right now, but I'm wearing the whole armor of God. So that while I'm preaching, the fiery darts are being quenched. So I've got that helmet on, and so that the enemy can't get in my mind going, you're making a fool of yourself preaching tonight. I don't hear you. I'll speak to it. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get behind me. Get under my feet. Go somewhere else, because you're not going to change my mind. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means there's some things you can speak life into. You can resurrect them. You can keep alive. The word gives us over and over, shows us that you can keep things alive or resurrect things just through the spoken word of God. But then other things have to die. Sometimes there are things that are hunting you and hounding you and bothering you, but they've got to go. They've got to die. The defeat of Pharaoh and his army, before it ever happened, it was a word. The Lord said, and you will not see them anymore after today. He told it. He let the word, he declared it, he spoke it. He said, after today, you will not see these Egyptians anymore. They'll be gone forever. They'll be washed away. They will die. And he spoke that. Let me tell you, just because he brought us out doesn't mean that something's not after you. Doesn't mean that something doesn't want to enslave you again. It wants to bring you back. It wants to break you down. It wants to stop you from moving forward. It does not want you to get to the promised land. But I'm telling you tonight, you need to speak to that thing. You need to speak to doubt and discouragement. Come on. You need to speak to your flesh. That's a big thing. Speak, get your flesh under subjection. Mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Speak in the Spirit. Don't talk to me about how many devils you can whoop when you can't get your own flesh under subjection. Yeah. Don't talk to me about praying for miracles and signs and wonders when you can't even pray your flesh under subjection. We've got to get this, friend. I'm helping you. Because Paul said, that's the war. It's in my members. It's in my flesh, and I'm fighting. There's no good thing that dwells inside of me, but I've got to get victory over it. And too many people say, so I'll get a handle on it. Oh, I got this, but I'll get a handle on it. Don't get a handle on it. Speak to it. Don't get a handle on it. Kill it. Don't get a handle on it. Cast it out. Don't get a handle on it. Get over it. Get by it. Get past it. Beat it. Face it. Fight it. And beat it. Because your voice, it will precede your victory. Yeah. Yeah, you know. You don't start declaring victory in the middle of the fight. You go in knowing, I got this. Go on in there and make your declaration. I'm going to win. I'm going to win because I'm more than a conqueror through him. Oh, if God be for me, then who can be against me? That's the revelation that Paul was telling me. He said, the reason why you can speak and say things directly to it is because God's got your back. If God be for you, who can be against you? There ain't nothing you're going to come up against that every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the Lord over all. His name is above every name. And when you start speaking the name of Jesus, you're declaring power and victory over every single thing that ever comes against you. Speak to it. Stop balling up in the corner afraid. Stop giving up. Stop talking negative things and start speaking faith into your situation. You might not be able to get pastor on the phone, and you might not be able to get the prayer team on the phone. We've got the same Holy Ghost. You speak to your situation. You've got to learn it. Nobody else needs to fight your battles. You can fight your battles. He didn't just say the pastor is more than a conqueror. He said we are more than conquerors. The body. Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're the church. Many members. One body. We're the church. But many members. And every member has victory in their voice. What you are saying is determined about what you believe about God. And if God be for us, when something comes against you, do you remember the scriptures that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? This world wants to tear us down, cause us to give up, wants us to quit, walk out. Hey, look, he don't have to kill you. If he could, he would. But he ain't killed none of us. Oh, I heard so many people say, man, the devil wants to kill me, but he can't. So quit just bringing that nonsense up. He can't. And he ain't worried about killing you. He wants you to quit serving God because that will kill you. He wants to break down your faith. He wants you to curse God. He wants you to walk away. He wants you to stop preaching, praying, worshiping, and testifying. He wants you to go back and pick up that pipe and pick up that needle and pick up that bottle and pick up them old ways. He wants you to get back on that stuff. He's just trying to entice you back into that sin that God brought you out of. But what you need to start doing is speaking to it. No, in the name of Jesus, I am not going back. In the name of Jesus, I will not get back into those things. I'm not going to do that. He died for me. He washed me in his blood. I will not turn my back on the Lord. And start speaking the positive things into your life. And if you know that God is for you, then I need to ask you this. How are you addressing these things? Or your voice will precede your victory. I talked about David just a little bit ago. The story of David and Goliath is probably one of the first Bible stories, maybe besides Noah's Ark, that we ever hear. You'll hear about somebody's car going crazy in the parking lot. I hear it. But you'll hear about David and Goliath, you know, mentioned in, not even in biblical terms, but whenever there's it could be a sporting event where there's one team that's the big, giant, great football team. The other one's just some little community college. It's a David and Goliath matchup today, you know, because it's all about the size and how uneven things look. And maybe it did because Goliath was what we would call maybe a giant. Some places, you know, it says he was above 9 feet tall. I don't exactly know how tall he was, but he was big. And David was just a lad, probably in his mid-teens, so just a young guy. And it never said anything about David looked like Atlas or like Arnold Schwarzenegger, or he didn't look like the Terminator. He wasn't all buff when he come running out there. He was just a cute little kid running around with a bag, delivering cheese to his brothers. But he had something. He knew something. But, you know, sometimes I'm afraid there's too much focus just on the bag of rocks. But let's look at 1 Samuel 17 and see what David had to say in 1 Samuel 17 in verse number 4. Well, first, let's just set the stage. Here's what was going on. There was a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, Goliath of Gath. He was 6 cubits and a span, 9 feet 9 inches, according to a measurement that I wrote down in my book. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, armed with a coat of mail. Weight of coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. It was about 125 pounds he was carrying. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spear head weighed 600 shekels, 15 pounds of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out and set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. And if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we... Now he's talking for the whole party. If I lose, we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. The enemy has challenged, and he wants to defeat you. There's a battle, and the enemy wants to enslave you. He don't want to just beat you and kill you. He wants to enslave you. He wants you to be reminded every day that you lost. That's what it would be like. Every day they would be reminded, if we had just beat him, we'd be free. If we had gotten victory, we wouldn't be here right now, but we lost. And he wants to mock you, make light of you, wants to freeze you with fear. And David comes riding in, and he hears him, and he sees him, and he sees the weapons that Goliath has. And you Maybe I'll just be like the rest of this army up here, hiding and trembling and shaking, but none of that changed what David knew about God. He had already had some things happen in his life. He said, I don't understand. I think he was more confused by his brothers and the armies of the mighty God hiding behind trees and shaking in their tents. And how come the king's not out here taking care? Why is this guy, why are you letting him just keep speaking to us like this? Why do we keep letting those things just speak to us like that? Sit there and listen over and over to those voices mocking us, challenging us, belittling us, telling us you can't win. But David knew something about God. And before a single stone was ever launched, this is what David said. In verse 45, it says, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, you come to me with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host, all your brothers, all your friends, all your family. I'm going to give the host this day to the fowls of the air and all the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword or with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He went ahead and told them, this is how it's going to be. While he's picking up his rocks, you're going to lose. I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to kill all these other men. We're going to feed them to the birds. This is what's going to happen. David, do you see how big he is? Even Saul said, you can't fight him. He's a man of war from his youth, and you are nothing but a youth. As long David, from the time he was your age, he's been killing people. He's been fighting. He's been in battles, and he's been winning. No telling how many heads he's taken off. You can't fight him. Oh, but Saul, let me tell you. One day a lion came in. One day a bear came in, and God delivered those animals into my hand and delivered the sheep. And if God did it for them, he'll do it with this Philistine. He'll be no different. Because it ain't no difference to God whether it's a lion or a giant. It ain't no difference to God whether it's cancer or a headache. Hello? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, what are you saying to these things that are come against you? It's time that we start speaking in faith. Oh, I want to be like David. I want to dance like David. You know what? Too many people are dancing and nobody's speaking to the problem. Because you can't dance your problem away. You can't shout your situation away. There's got to be a voice. Even Paul and Silas knew, with black eyes and bloody lips and stripes on their back, they didn't just sit in prison and be quiet. They started praying and singing songs unto God. They let their voice out, and the earth started to shake, and the doors flew open, and the chains fell off, because God heard a voice of the saints of God crying out. Speak to it. Not about it. To it. It's time to start speaking to the things that are going on in our life. Plead the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, oh, I wish there was still some of those elders around. That was their number one go-to thing. You need to plead the blood of Jesus. You need to speak the name of Jesus. Oh, if I can just get in church and clap a little bit with the praise team. Honey, that's good. It might make you feel better. But if you want to kill that thing, you better start speaking to it in the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, I'm all about that worship. I love to run. I don't run as fast as I used to. I don't jump as high as I used to. But I still try to keep going. And I love it. I want to worship God with everything. I want to do like David did and dance with all my might. I want to worship with everything I got. But what I have found out is that I can run 5 laps, 10 laps, and I'll still have trouble when I get out the door. But if I can just begin to call on the name of the Lord, and I can begin to speak in faith against the things that are coming against me, that's where the victory is at. He didn't say, what are you dancing about these things? What are you shouting about? What are you saying to these things? Because what you say is a direct reflection of how you see God. Because if God be for you, why aren't you saying anything? If God be for you, it's just like, I don't say nothing because he's a big bully and he'll whoop me. Not if you got a bigger friend or brother behind you. I got a cousin. We grew up together. Man, he's a stick. He's a little bitty fella. Look like Barney Fife. I mean, just tiny, skinny. Wind just blowing to the side. But let me tell you, nobody ever touched him. But he sure did run his mouth. But the reason nobody ever said anything about it, because he had 4 or 5 big guys with him all the time. He was always with us. And so he could say what he wants to, and we'd be like, what you going to do? You mess with him? He can say what he wants to. You know, we backed him up. It wasn't right, but it's the way it was. But he didn't care. We'd be in town. Some dude come walking by. He didn't like the way he looked. He'd smart off at him, and then he'd come over, stand beside me. Well, let me tell you, God's for you. Who can be against you? You go on and speak to that thing. It's going to tug tail and run. It's going to go because it knows that, hey, I can't do nothing with the one that's backing him up. I can't do nothing against that name that's above every name. I can't do nothing against the name of Jesus. Praise God. David's voice preceded his victory, and so will yours. Your voice will precede your victory. David knew what he faced. He knew the stakes were high. He knew that people saw him as the underdog. But more importantly, David knew, if God be for me, who can be against me? And it framed the words of faith that spilled out across his lips, and it was the driving force behind that stone. Well, when that stone caught him, killed him, took him out, it happened just like he said. David told Goliath, I'm going to take your head off. What did David do? Took his head off. With his own sword. So I ask us today, the church, what are we saying to these things? Because we can sit in silence, bound and gagged, waiting on a rescue. Sometimes we need people to step in, pray with us. But listen, God never intended. I know he said two are better than one. I know the scripture. But he didn't say for one of those two to be drug around by the other one. You're not going to make it to heaven by somebody dragging you. Hey, I got you. Come on. Come on and limp on in. No, ain't nobody limping in. We're running a race. We're going to make it through under our steam. We're going to run this race, all of us, with patience. We're going to make it ourselves. We're going to say like Paul said, now I am ready to be offered. I have finished my course. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. What are we saying? Speak to that thing in the name of the Lord and get your victory today. Still got time. Or I can quit. Whatever y'all want me to do. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. Well, how's he going to hear if you ain't speaking? Get that, quit living by, well, he knows what's in my heart. Yeah, he does. But he wants to hear your voice. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. He has inclined, listen to this now. He has inclined his ear unto me. Man, take advantage of this resource. You have the ear of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I'm not changing teams. I'm not deciding that I got somebody better to talk to. As long as I'm alive, I'll keep talking to the Lord. I'll keep speaking to him, because if the Lord be for me, who can be against me? He said, the sorrows of death can pass me. Pains of hell got a hold of me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then what'd you do? I called upon the name of the Lord. You mean you didn't post about it? You mean you didn't write out some parchments, David, and send them out to everybody, and everybody penciled a little thumb on it and sent it back to you and said, hey, I like that, David. You mean you didn't blow up your text group? He said, when this happened in my life, I didn't call mama and I didn't call dad. I called on the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, deliver my soul. Yes, yes, yes. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Oh, I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord. So he's just speaking it. I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I know on the road that we walk, there's many times that we can trip and we can slide and slip. But he said, I'm going to keep walking. I believed, therefore have I spoken. And that's it, my friend. I believe that God can do anything. I believe there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't believe that miracles and signs and wonders are over. I don't believe that the church is going to have to just sit and fight and be kicked and abused until the Lord comes back. But I believe that the church of the living God has got more Holy Ghost power today than they've ever had. I believe when we begin to recognize the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, and we begin to stand up and declare his word and call on his name, we're going to see healings and signs and wonders, and we're going to see it in our day. It's going to happen. I believed, and that frames the thoughts of my mind, the thoughts of my heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You can't say, I believe all these things about God in my heart, and it not be coming across your lips. Because if it ain't coming across your lips, it must not be in your heart. Because the word don't lie. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Have faith. Have faith in God. Mark chapter 12 or 11, in verse 21, we know this. Jesus had cursed the fig tree because it had no fruit on it the next day. Peter remembered and said, Master, the tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, say unto this mountain. Not what you think about this mountain. He didn't say try to devise a plan. He said just say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Get out of my vicinity. And he will not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Speak to it. Faith in God is expressed by your voice. And when your faith in God is expressed by your voice, it will bring forth the miraculous. Yes. I believe it was Brother Arnold one time, priest said, there is a miracle in your mouth. Yep. We need to start speaking those things. Peter and John grabbed a man by the hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked. Apostle Paul turned around, and the woman that had a spirit of divination kept falling around. He finally turned around and spoke to it. Poop, gone. Spoke out. This guy, get out of here. We've already talked about Paul and Silas. The miracle was in their mouth. Praises unto God, prayers unto God. Doors flying open. People were saved and baptized that night. Their wounds were treated. Oh, I tell you, God knows what he's doing. If we'll speak to it, God knows what to say. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, let me get there right quick, and I know I'm getting ready to come to a close here if they want to come to the music tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 8, Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." That's a lot. But just look what he said. We got it. It's coming against us. But we're always winning. Trouble on every side. Not distressed. Perplexed. Not in despair. Persecuted. Not forsaken. God's with you. Cast down. Not destroyed. God's on our side. In verse 13, he said, "We have in the same spirit of faith, accord." And listen to this. In case you think it was just Old Testament people writing pretty psalms, this is the kind of thing that the Apostle Paul lived by. "We have in the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. As it is written." God gave us this word so we could speak it. He gave us this word so we could form words of faith about him. He put these stories in there about victories and battles being won and dead coming back to life and diseases being cured so we could have faith and speak those same kind of things so that we could lay hands on the sick and see them recover, so that the prayer of faith would save the sick, so that the fervent prayer of the righteous would avail much. "I believed, therefore I have spoken." We also believe and therefore speak. It didn't die with David. It didn't die with the patriarchs. But as apostles of the Lamb of God, here we are, and we believe, and so we speak. And let me tell you, it didn't die with the apostles, but the church is still going on today. The blood-bought, spirit-filled, redeemed church of the Lord Jesus Christ is still going on today. And we believe, and so we speak. We can't lose our voice. We can't lose this voice of faith. Because if we lose that, we lose our victory. If I lose my words, I lose my victory. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going. He said, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and present us with you for all things and for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not." We're not quitting. We're not giving up. "For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And that inward man won't cease. He will not quit crying out to the Lord. That inward man only wants to speak the things of God. And he's renewed day by day. "For our light affliction, which is but a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not." We don't get focused on the things that we see happening, but we are focusing on the things that we do not see. The things that we see are temporal. What you're going through, it's got a time limit, an expiration date, but the things which we don't see are eternal. Those things that Jesus has laid up for us. And so, friend, keep speaking to these things. Stand with me tonight. Praise God. It is through his name and faith in his name that makes people whole. But if Peter had never spoke to that guy, he still would have been a lame man sitting by. He could have walked by and said, "Look at that guy. He can't move, but the name of Jesus could fix that." But then why don't you go say something to him, Peter? "I don't want to look foolish or embarrass myself, or I don't want other people to." All the excuses we make to not pray, to not speak out, to not say what we ought to say. But our victory is voiced. So what are you saying to these things? What are you saying to that trouble that's going on in your life? What are you saying to that face you see in the mirror every morning? Because if you're going, you'll never make it. Your words have power. You're a loser. You're stupid. You're so foolish. You're just a waste of space. Keep talking to yourself like that, you'll believe it. And the enemy will just say, that's right, say it again. But you look in that mirror and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God created me in His image. You look in that mirror and say, despite my faults, He met my needs. And He washed me in His blood, and my sins have been remitted in His name. He filled me with His Spirit, and I spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the other. I heard it. Others heard it. They were there. It happened. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Start speaking life to yourself and death to the enemy. Yeah. Because you mean something. You're precious to the Lord. You are His bride. You are His church. You are His people. And where, as the scripture said in one place, has there ever been told that there were people that heard their God speaking out of the fire when He baptized us with the Holy Ghost in fire? Oh, where has there ever been a people like the church? Hey, even Israel, God bless them and give them peace. But even Israel got to have the same redemption we got. His name and faith in His name and be filled with His Spirit to be His. For without the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. So where has there ever been a people like the church that the Lamb of God shed His blood for? Well, there's organizations and there's gatherings and there's groups and there's all kind of things that have big followings and big things and stuff going on, but they'll never, ever be able to match the church. They'll never be able to match that little old thatch hut church in some third world country with about 12 people worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The greatest army on earth is no match for one. David was one, and the whole Philistine army was no match for him. With faith in Jesus or in the Lord, in the name of the Lord. I wonder what victories you could be celebrating tonight if you just speak to it. I'm going to give you an opportunity to just come to the altar tonight. You can come and stand. You can come and kneel. Listen, you don't have to come with a list of needs. God knows what you need. Scripture says we have His ear. He hears our voice. So tonight, you come to the altar and tell that thing that's bothering you. It's time for you to go, because the one that saved me is backing me up. The one that saved me, he's going to stand behind that tonight. If I loose it, it'll be loosed. If I bind it, it'll be bound.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.